He asked, "What can I buy for $3?" Well, the proprietor replied, "I can give you a dozen carnations or one rose." The man said, "You mean I can get a dozen carnations and only one rose? How come roses are so expensive?" He said, "Oh, real simple. The scent of a carnation doesn't last very long. It's sweet for a moment, but it has no longevity. On the other hand, a rose is known for its ongoing scent. Even when you think it's dead, it can be crushed, turned into potpourri, and the smell can still continue." It's a beautiful picture of the value of womanhood. And women that allow God to use them and live a life of service for Him have an ongoing fragrance that lasts even beyond their lives. But women who do not live for God but live life selfishly are a dime a dozen and not worth very much to the cause of Christ. We want to look for a few moments here of the value of womanhood, and obviously as it's translated into motherhood. God has great legacy from the gifts that women give in the home and in ministry outside of the home. You probably heard the famous statement of Winston Churchill. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill a list of all of those who had been his teachers. Churchill returned the list with this comment: "You have omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." And how true that is. And so I want to look today at one woman in particular and see the impact upon the move of New Testament Christianity. And we are affected even today by the ministry that she had. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, if you would. We'll look at several different passages, but Acts chapter 18. And this morning we are looking at the woman Priscilla, mentioned six times in the New Testament, Aquila and Priscilla. And it really is remarkable, even with just those few mentions, you get the very clear understanding of the enormous impact that she had on the work of the Lord in that day as God was strategically moving the church forward. And obviously, that kind of heart, as we're going to mention several times, is one of the keys to seeing children continue on and go forward for the Lord. We don't know whether Priscilla and Aquila had children. Very well, Paul may have met them later on in the ministry. We don't know that part, but we certainly know the ministry that we had. So we're looking at bold womanhood. As you know, our theme has been unashamed, and we're looking at a bold advance this summer. And so just a simple thought of a woman that is bold for Jesus Christ. She is definitely one of the greatest women of the New Testament. She is mentioned in team ministry with her husband each time. It's never Aquila alone in the six mentions in Scripture. And four of the times, Priscilla's name is first, which shows you the interchangeability of the impact that they were having on the cause of Christ. In fact, her service for the Lord swept way past even the contact they had with the Apostle Paul. So I want to see, first of all, that she was committed to bold advance of the gospel. She was committed to bold advance of the gospel. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 18. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius," that's the emperor, "had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and they came unto him. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." So we see here the tremendous partnership that God allowed Paul to have with Aquila and Priscilla. And first of all, it was a financial one. They were all tent makers, and evidently Aquila and Priscilla even though they had been expelled from Rome, were very skilled in what they did. And Paul, as any young Jew, had to learn a craft, even though he was heading into training for as a rabbi and was trained in the highest levels of learning under Gamaliel. He evidently had been taught in tent making and leather making and so forth. And so he's coming in to pioneer a new church, and there had to be some kind of means. So they evidently formed a partnership in this enterprise, but that was minimal. The major partnership that they had was for the advancement of the work of God. And so we see here Priscilla very clearly willing to partner with the Apostle Paul along with her husband. She was willing to change around their business. She was willing to change their priorities and become as active as the Apostle Paul was in the getting out of the gospel, starting that church there in Corinth, and then going way beyond that, as we'll see in a few minutes, being willing to travel for the cause of Christ and to be a significant force for that cause. And it's very, very thrilling to see that. Now, I'm sure that her life was interrupted. You know, they had their own course of how they lived. They already knew the Lord, and it seems as though they were clearly already dedicated to some degree, but the Apostle Paul was able to bring them into a place of real surrender and to lead them into real victory in their lives. So that meant that her lifestyle was going to change. Let me just ask you, ladies, are you willing to put Christ first? Now, it's very important for us to understand the importance of the home and all of that, but the home is only as strong as the dedication to the ultimate purpose for which we're alive once we're saved. It all fits, the husband-wife relationship, the rearing of children, the use of time and priorities come into focus when we have a surrender to the cause. And I'm sure Priscilla had a moment in which she had to say, all right, I'm willing for my lifestyle to change. I am willing for things to be different because I see what God is doing in this day and I want to be part of that. Mary Moffat, before she was married to her husband, Robert, was from a family that just didn't want their priorities to be as extreme as Robert Moffat's priorities were. He was heading to Africa to begin a march to the inland of Africa for the gospel of Christ. The two of them knew that they were to be married, but the parents did not want that extreme sacrifice made. Obviously, Mary kept under the leadership of her parents, and so Robert left and went on by himself down to South Africa. Then, as time went on, he received a shocking letter. Evidently, Mary had gotten such a burden herself, not just for marriage, but for the cause of reaching Africa for Christ, that she wrote, "They both," speaking of her parents, "yesterday calmly resigned me to the lands into the hands of the Lord, and they were not going to withhold me," because her heart was very evident to them. She quickly packed her baggage and said goodbye, knowing that she would probably never see them again. They were married before a handful of friends in Africa on December 27, 1819, and there they labored side by side for 53 years. An amazing thing, and they were really one of the key pioneers in the movement forth in Africa for the cause of Christ. Their daughter married David Livingstone. You may know that name. And so, ladies, involved in every great work of the Lord, you will always find godly women. It is vital. You look at Romans chapter 16. It is filled with salutations to ladies who had given themselves to the cause of Christ. And in our day, there's been quite an attack on biblical womanhood. There's been quite an attack on biblical priorities. And as a result, marriages have been hurt and the cause of Christ has been hurt. But let me just say to the ladies that are here that it is vital, if you want to see your children go on for the Lord, if they're in the home, or if you want your marriage or your life as a single to really count, it's got to be first and foremost a surrender to the will of God for your life, and God will work. And it is in the cause, especially of the local church, and seeing, because that's the very center of God's plan for today, that God will mightily use you. I'm always stirred as I read of J.O. Frazier, who before the end of his life, just about the entire Lisu tribe came to know the Lord, and they had been so entrenched in demonic worship and so pagan that for years he labored without really any lasting fruit. But he began to get a hold of what God can do, began to fast and pray, and God gave him an assurance that he was going to work. But the key he would tell you was, he said, it was the Christians at home that do as much for foreign missions as those who are actually on the field. He credited the conversion of hundreds of Lisu families to the prayers of his very earnest little prayer group back in England in his mother's church. And I'll tell you, ladies, when you get a hold of serving God, when you get a hold of the power of prayer for your family and for the cause of Christ and for worldwide missions, it is amazing what will happen is as you see God work. Well, she was also willing to go wherever God led them. If you look down to verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there, speaking of being in Corinth, yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Well, that messes up your plans, doesn't it? Corinth, now all the way over to Ephesus. That's over in what is now modern-day Turkey. And Paul now had, and Aquila were partners in the ministry, and it was tremendous what God was doing. And then later, as I mentioned about Romans 16, you don't need to turn there, in all the greetings, the first one was, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Well, if you're writing a book to Rome, then where were Priscilla and Aquila living? In Rome. Now think about this. Corinth to Ephesus, then way over to Italy in Rome. They were intricately involved in the advancement of the work of the Lord. Ladies, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? And men, of course, all of this applies to us. But I'm directly looking at Priscilla. If your husband got called to the field, would you be willing to go? If your husband get burdened for something, we have, for instance, jail ministry, or being involved in some sacrificial work within the church, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to give of yourself to that ministry because you're one with your husband? This is the key, as I said. As you look at the movement forward of the church, you will find the support of godly ladies. In fact, you go back to Acts chapter 1, there in the upper room, you have a large number of women that are there that were praying for the Spirit of God to come. They were intricate in Christ's ministry and in the early days of the work of God. And that's the key to really seeing children have the same heart when it's really a heart to serve the Lord. Secondly, they were involved in bold discipleship. 1 Corinthians 16:19, he writes at the end of that epistle, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So when they went over there, that was the matter was that they were not only just supporting the work of the Lord, they were starting a church in their own house. They housed discipleship groups. Are you willing? Are you willing to be part of seeing God tangibly work? I am just thrilled with the number of ladies here that spend extra time discipling other ladies. Would you be willing, if your husband was able to get a discipleship group in your house, to be willing to allow that group to meet there and to pour your life into that ministry? You see, that's why Priscilla's name is mentioned. Some of these great churches that we know of, because epistles were written to them, they actually had their beginnings right there in the sacrificial openness of Priscilla and Aquila to use what they had, their vocation, their home, and their time. And they were constantly involved in ministering to people, seeing them saved, and discipling them. Let me just say, I'm having to go through this quickly, but I'm telling you, the greatest joy in the world is to see people saved and then go on for God. I mean, if you want life to come together, if you want life to make sense, if you want to get excited about everything you do, if you put it in that context, it really does come into glorious focus when God is using your life that way. But many times, ladies can get caught in an unwillingness to be a part of that kind of ministry. She was not materialistic, obviously. She was giving of what she had. Reminds me of the little boy that was given two apples. One was considerably larger than the other, and the mother said, I want you to give the other apple to your sister, and I want you to be generous and give the larger apple to your sister. And the boy said, Mom, why don't you give the apples to my sister and ask her to be generous and give the larger apple to me? It's just natural for us to be possessive of what we have. You know, we look sometimes over and see the move of God in other places. One of the keys is there is a letting go of what we have for the cause of Christ. And so it was really amazing to see her heart for that. Mrs. Goforth, Jonathan Goforth, the wife there of a man that was mightily used of God for northeastern China, she had a really difficult time by her own testimony. Initially, as the Chinese would keep coming into her house and so forth, and she was really struggling. In fact, she came back home and heard Charles Trumbull give his famous message on victory in Christ. And God met with her, and she realized that as much as she had dedicated herself to go to the field and give of herself for the cause of Christ, she really still was dominated by selfishness, even in that context. And God broke her. And they had a move of God that is still being evident in China with well over 100 million folks that have been saved. You know, it is worth giving ourselves to the Lord. Even one lady can make a difference. And you can make a difference in one person. And it's so interesting. If you look down in chapter 18, if you're still there, verse 26, there was a man named Apollos. And he was mighty in the scriptures, he was eloquent, and he was speaking in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, first of all, I want you to note, Paul was gone. Guess who's taking care of the church at Corinth? Aquila. And Priscilla's supporting him in that lead ministry, that strategic ministry. Secondly, when Apollos clearly had a weakness knowing about the work of the Holy Spirit, the founding of the church, the extensive mission to the Gentiles, these stable, mature, godly Christians were able to mentor and disciple him to where when they were finished, he became one of the most powerful leaders in the New Testament church. Many of you ladies know this, but out of your Sunday school classes, many of you that stood recently have come men that are preaching the gospel around the world and ladies that are serving God. Out of the homes that are represented here, I would love to know how many children are actually out in full-time service from the homes represented right here. I think you would be absolutely stirred to see what God has done. The impact is amazing. And clearly, commentators note that she took an equal role. Both of them were mentioned here. And she was able to give her perspective. Remember in Ephesians 4, the pastor is given to the church for the perfecting of the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry. And the next verse connected directly to that is, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's speaking of the faith, the word of God. Men and women should know the truth so that we can disciple people so that they can become the men and women of God that they ought to be and have the impact that God wants them to. And that doesn't say just men there. It is so important that the older ladies teach the younger. It is important that you're involved in Bible ministry. And then finally, thirdly, she was clearly dedicated to a bold stand. They were identified with Paul. And if you were identified with Paul, he was a lightning rod. You know, he had wonderful government-paid housing in jail. And, he really went through it. And as a result, they went through it. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Isn't that amazing? And so they surrendered their lives for the truth. Not just Aquila, but Priscilla. We don't know exactly when. Maybe it was in Ephesus when they had the big riot. I don't know. Other conjectures. But regularly, Priscilla was more concerned about the gospel going forward than even her own life and her husband's life. Folks, that really gets down to the core of who we are. Pliny, the governor of Bithynia, wrote Trajan, the emperor, and told him how he flushed out Christians. And he said, "I give anybody we suspect of being a Christian a chance to invoke the gods of Rome, offer sacrifice to the image of the emperor, and finally to curse the name of Christ. But none of these acts will move those who are really Christians. They cannot be forced to do it." Not only men need to take a stand, but I have found over the years that ladies often are more loyal to Jesus than anyone. But with the corruption of our day, with wrong entertainment, with wrong priorities, with materialism, with things that can creep into a woman's heart and into a man's heart, having Christ first and wanting to be able to serve him at any cost, I'm afraid at times it doesn't take much for us to crumble. I'm telling you, out of our homes, we've got to have young men and young women that know, I've got a mom that's going to stand for Christ. I thank God for the firm faith of my mother. I'm telling you, she would have been so disappointed if any of us as children had ever compromised. It burned in her soul. I certainly was greatly helped by my father, and he led, but it was my mother who gave me the conviction and the fire in my heart to do right, and how I thank God for her. And moms, we need that today. Because you love the Lord Jesus and because you want to serve him and you are sold on the fact that the only reason for living is to have Christ exalted and to see God's work go forward. That is going to be the key if you have that kind of heart. And so I do want to encourage everyone here, let's live for God in these days. But ladies, here on Mother's Day, whether you're a mother or not, God has given the gift of womanhood. That's the greatest impact, I think, more than men. I think when we get to heaven, more will have happened through the leadership, influence, love, and surrender of godly women. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, let me just ask a couple of questions, that I think could be a help to you today. If you're here today and you know that you're a Christian, you know you're on your way to heaven, you have no doubt about that, let me just ask you, what then is the priority of your life? This is for men and women, obviously, young people. Do we really have this kind of heart to serve the Lord with everything we have? Be willing to go wherever, do whatever God wants us to do. But let me speak especially to ladies. Is the life of Priscilla the kind of life that you want? Is it the life of really being right in the center of what's going on today for the cause of Christ? Or are you happy enough with your own little life and just doing what you're going to do and certainly support the things of God, but not really be a key factor? I'm telling you, if you want your children to turn out for God, you need to become a key factor. If you want to see God use your life, if you want your marriage to be what it ought to be, if you want to see the power of God rest upon what you do, that kind of perspective is very important. God on purpose 6 times highlights this one woman. Everything in the Word of God is very carefully placed. And you'd say, as a lady here today, in particular, and men, of course, if God worked in your heart, but you'd say, I realize there is another level of getting serious about the things of God that I need to have. And I realize that a lot of my life just slips by on things that are okay, but not necessarily really high priority. And just looking at this life, God has touched my heart. Would you pray for me today, Pastor? Would you just slip your hand up here as heads are bowed, no one's looking around, if God has worked in your heart that way? God bless you. Many, many ladies, thank you. Anyone else? God's worked in my heart. I need to really have this kind of perspective and priority. Maybe you're here today. I don't know everyone here. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. You could not lift your hand if I were to ask you if you'd ever accepted Christ and know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And you say, Pastor, I've been burdened about my eternal destiny. I have been burdened about my relationship with God. I need prayer. I really want God to know that my heart is open to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you just, while heads are still bowed, just slip your hand up, let the Lord see it, that you're burdened about your soul. I'll pray for you in general here today. Anyone like that, just slip it up until I can see it, then put it back down if God is working in your heart today. Lord, thank you for your word. We've just quickly gone over this, but Lord, would you use the example of Priscilla to encourage all of us? Thank you for these dear laymen that became mighty ministers of the gospel. Lord, if the laymen across America would become activated by the Spirit of God, this nation would be shaken. Now, Lord, help us to understand that. Stir us in the depths of our hearts, I pray now. Would you bless these that raise their hand? And Lord, would you work mightily now in this invitation time? In Jesus' name, amen.